This morning, as we look to the new year, God put a message on my heart about wanting more. How many of you would like to have more of God in your life this next year? Yeah, well, I hope to inspire you with some faith. To start out, I'd like to share a funny story. We went to visit my mother in Pennsylvania. She's 92 years old. She's still doing well, praise God, and we're very grateful for that. And she now lives in rural Pennsylvania near my sister. So Ingrid and I drove down the day after Christmas. It took like 7.5 hours. We're really tired. You know, we had like, you know, eaten in the car and everything. And so we get to where she lives, and we get out of the car, and we're trying to move things around so we can get her into the car. And, you know, she has a walker, and we have to get everything just right. And then drive to my sister's, and Ingrid and I are like, oh, the car just like kind of smells. And then we're saying like, oh, like, are we gross? Like, has it smelled for like 2 hours? And like, we haven't even noticed. And Ingrid's like waving the car door open and trying to get it to smell better. And then all of a sudden I'm standing out and I'm just smelling. It's like, it's not the car. It just like smells here. And I'm like, yes, we're back in Pennsylvania. And there's a farmer down the road and he spread manure on his fields. And like, it smells like it. So anyways, we felt better about ourselves after that. While I was in Pennsylvania, in Lancaster County, outside of Lancaster, there's a Christian theater called Sight and Sound. Has anyone ever been to Sight and Sound? Okay, a few people. They now have a production called Jesus. It's the life of Jesus. The theater is huge. It has these amazing stage settings that they move right across the stage and come in and out, and then they've got like a film going behind, and they were able to do Peter, you know, walking on the water, and you felt like you were in a, you know, an ocean with waves going. It really moved me. And so I wanted to share, they did the account of the leper coming to Jesus. And we can't relate to leprosy because we don't, does anybody even know anyone with leprosy? I mean, it's just not a common disease, but if you had leprosy, you were dying. And you couldn't be with your family anymore because you had to live outside the city or town or village because it's very contagious. And so somebody else would get leprosy from you and die. So lepers lived in a leper colony. If you've ever seen Ben-Hur, the old movie, it's very graphic about it. So here's a leper, and he's coming to Jesus. And so in the production, it shows like everybody like moving back around. They're saying, Master, Master, get away, get away. And they're yelling at the guy to leave, and he keeps coming. I thought, yeah, what would it be like to be a leper? And you see your body kind of rotting away before your eyes. You can't be near your loved ones. But you hear there's a guy named Jesus who can heal people. And so the leper comes, everybody runs away except Jesus. And just like in the Bible says, he comes beseeching the Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. And Mark writes, Jesus moved with compassion, did something that no healthy person had done for years and years to this man. He touched the man. And he said, I'm willing, be cleansed. And the leprosy leaves. And shows, you know, Jesus in the production is hugging the guy and like tears just like well up in my eyes. Start flowing down my cheeks. I'm like, yeah, that's the Jesus I know. That's the Jesus I love. Amen? So if you can get anywhere near Lancaster, Pennsylvania from now till the end of October, seriously, it's worth the price. It's an expensive show, but it is really inspiring. Now I want us to talk about another person in Scripture who was healed in John chapter 5. And this is kind of a contrast. There's a man who Scripture says had been sick for 38 years. How many of you are under the age of 38? All right, most everybody from City Church, right? Janine Hodge is trying to slide in. So he was sick and lame longer than you've been alive. And he was lying by a pool where an angel of God would come and stir up the pool and the person who could jump in first would be healed. Seems kind of weird, but it happened. So Jesus comes, he sees this man, scripture says he even knows how long he's been ill, and he asks the guy what seems kind of like a foolish question, do you want to be well? Now, that's kind of a yes-no question. And you would think, it almost seems like a foolish question. The guy might have responded, well, hey, like, why do you think I'm lying here? Of course I want to get well. But the man's response is telling. He doesn't say that. He says, sir, whenever the pool gets stirred up, there's no one here to help me get into the water, so someone else gets in, and like, I never get healed. He had adopted an identity that I'm the person who doesn't get healed. I'm the unlucky one. God does stuff for other people, but not me. Do you know what I'm talking about? And yet Jesus, in response to his response, says, get up! Take your pallet and walk. And the guy finds himself healed, he gets up and walks. So I want us to think about ourselves. Which kind of attitude do you have? Here's the leper, and he wants more. He wants more. He wants to be healed. And so he's going to Jesus and going for it. And there's another guy who's just like a defeatist attitude. Hey, I have all the bad luck. So I want us to have that leper's attitude. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father God, I thank you for all of us this morning. I thank you for your word, Lord, that tells us what Jesus said and did. It speaks to us. Let it find place in our heart, all of our hearts this morning, to your glory. And all God's people said, amen. So on your outline, the first fill-in is the leper wanted more. He wanted to be what? Healed, okay? Two, Jesus was motivated by compassion. Jesus had compassion for people. That's the way God wants us to be. And thirdly, the man by the pool had adopted a defeatist identity. You know, sometimes you just bump into somebody, you'll hear their story. Everything that's wrong, this is why my life is the way it is. And it's something that God wants to break us out of. Is it possible there's something new Jesus wants to do in you, but you don't have the right attitude? So hopefully by the end of the message, you're going to have the right attitude. Hallelujah. 2 Samuel 1 through 4 is on your sheet. I came across this passage in my daily Bible reading this past week. Listen to David. David spoke the words of this song to the Lord in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. He said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. You save me from violence. I call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. This is kind of what Ingrid was trying to get us to do earlier. What is God able to do? What's God able to save you from? So I love this. Do you feel like God was just a nice idea to David? No. God was very real to him. So David went through lots of problems in life, and he found that God delivered him from every one. And the biggest one, this was Saul. What was Saul trying to do to David? Kill him, murder him. Do you know that went on for years? It wasn't just like a week or two. I mean, like, he spent years of his life hiding in the desert, in the wilderness. He went to the Philistines, the enemies of God. He was there for over a year, scripture tells us. I mean, this went on for a long time. But David was convinced that God was his God, my rock, my refuge, my Savior, my deliverer. He's the power to save me. I'm going to call on his name. I want to have that spirit. I want you and me to know Jesus this way, that he's not just a nice idea. It's not just something we come and talk about. It's like Jesus is real. And he helps me. And he changes me. And he answers prayers. And you know what? Sometimes it's hard for a long time, but he's with me no matter what. Jesus said, I will be with you to the very end of the age. So we can take courage and stand in faith no matter what happens to us. Amen? All right, let's look at the scripture passage about Simeon. This is from Luke 2. I only have about half of it on your sheet there. Starting in verse 21, I'm reading from the Good News Translation. A week later, when the time came for the baby to be circumcised, he was named Jesus. What does Jesus mean? God saves. The name which the angel had given him before he had conceived. The time came for Joseph and Mary to perform the ceremony of purification, as the law of Moses commanded. So they took the child to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male is to be dedicated to the Lord. They also went to offer a sacrifice of a pair of doves or two young pigeons as required by the law of the Lord. At that time, there was a man named Simeon living in Jerusalem. He was a good, God-fearing man, and he was waiting for Israel to be saved. The Holy Spirit was with him and had assured him that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's promised Messiah. Led by the Spirit, Simeon went into the temple. When the parents brought the child Jesus into the temple to do for him what the law required, Simeon took the child in his arms and gave thanks to God. Now, Lord, you've kept your promise. You may let your servant go in peace. With my own eyes I have seen your salvation, which you prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light to reveal your will to the Gentiles and bring glory to your people Israel. The child's father and mother were amazed at the things Simeon said about him. Simeon blessed them and said to Mary, his mother, this child is chosen by God for the destruction and the salvation of many in Israel. He will be a sign from God which many people will speak against and so reveal their secret thoughts. And sorrow like a sharp sword will break your own heart. There was a very old prophet, a woman named Anna, daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She had been married for only 7 years and was now 84 years old. She never left the temple. Day and night she worshiped God, fasting and praying. That very same hour she arrived and gave thanks to God and spoke about the child to all who were waiting for God to set Jerusalem free. Amen. May God add his blessing to his word in our lives. How many of you like this story? I really love this story. I probably preach on this every year about this time, but I never get tired of it. Simeon and Anna had a real relationship with God. Simeon was a man, the Holy Spirit was upon him. It says that he was waiting for God to save Israel, or the New American Standard says he was looking for the consolation of Israel. He was looking for God to do something more. It goes on to say the Holy Spirit had promised him that he would not die before he'd seen the Messiah. How long had the Jews been waiting for the Messiah? Centuries. Most of the prophecies we read were like 700 years or so before Jesus came. So here's a guy who's hanging on to promises that haven't happened for centuries. Lots of other people have probably given up on it. And this guy feels the Holy Spirit tells him, you're going to see the Messiah. I wish Scripture told us a little bit more about how he responded to that. Did he say like, yes? Or is he like, is that really you, Lord? Right? Even sometimes when you're looking for something and it happens, you're shocked, you're surprised. Zacharias prayed for a child for years and years, gave up, and then all of a sudden, boop, you're going to have one. He was shocked. He didn't believe it. But we don't know. But we do know that Simeon kept that relationship with God because the Holy Spirit led him to the temple at the exact moment that Jesus was being dedicated by his mother and father. And he takes the baby and says, Lord, now your servant can depart in peace. He goes like, I'm ready to die. I've seen your salvation. You've fulfilled your promise to me. Or New American Standard says, according to your word, now I can depart in peace. So I don't know about you, but I want to be like Simeon. And then we have Anna. Anna comes into the temple, again, at the exact hour that Jesus is being dedicated. She starts giving thanks to God, and she goes around speaking to everyone who was what? They were waiting for Israel to be rescued, or they're waiting for the Messiah. There was a company of people who believed the promises of God even when it took centuries for them to happen. And God blessed them to see it with their own eyes. Hallelujah. So in your outline, Simeon, Anna, and their friends were looking for more from God. And they were doing so based on his what? On his promises, on his word. They weren't just like making up stuff. They were reading about the promises of the Messiah. They say, Lord, we want to see that. In our lifetime, we want to see your Messiah. And then Simeon was hanging on to a personal word from the Holy Spirit, which came to pass. I find this very wonderful. I want to be like them. Guess what else I want? I want you to be like them. Okay, that's your fill-in. Ask yourself the question, are you being like them? Are we imitating their faith? It's written down for our instruction. It's written down to inspire faith in us. Ingrid and I attended a Christmas Eve service at Ruggles Baptist Church. We used to meet there when we were with a different church that we helped start called Tree of Life. I hadn't seen this guy. His name's Paul. I hadn't seen him in years. He came up. It was really great. We hugged each other. He goes, Dave, I was just thinking about you. I said, oh, really? He goes, yeah, I remember that class that you taught on grace and Watchman Nee. This was like literally 25 years ago. But the thing is, he's writing a book, and in the book, he's writing about Job and perseverance. He's trying to recall all of God's faithfulness like we were doing earlier today. And so some things from that class stuck out to him. So, of course, that made me happy to hear that. He told me a story about his father. He said, I started praying for my father in the 90s. He says, my dad was a scoffer. He scoffed at God. He scoffed at the Bible. He was unpleasant. When I got married, he was mean and unkind to my wife. He said, but I kept praying. I wanted to see him saved. So years and years go by, and, you know, every so often you kind of bring it up again. You know, hey, you know, you need Jesus. And, you know, you get kind of beaten down, so you kind of retreat a little. Well, God changed his father's heart some years ago. So he had a heart attack, like, I don't know, 4 years or more ago. And he said to Paul's surprise, I don't believe it's my time to go. He's like, whoa, Dad. Then his mother got sick, so his dad cared for his mother the last 2 years of her life. His dad started believing the things of God. His dad started being kind to his wife. So his father's 90 years old, and Paul said, I was reading Galatians 5, and I realized that my father, at age 90, had begun to demonstrate all the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that great? I said, wow, so are you putting that in the book? He goes, oh, yeah. That's beautiful. But did it come easily? No. So the next point on the outline, my friend was desiring more from the Lord, which required what? Faith, perseverance. Faith and perseverance. Either one, those are both good. But perseverance is what I was looking for. He had to hang in there. A lot of the Christian life is hanging in there and believing when it doesn't seem like anything's happening, believing when it's boring, believing when it's hard. That's what we see in Scripture. In Scripture, we don't see people who have these wonderful lives that nothing ever went wrong for them. We see people who went through all kinds of hardship. They believe promises that never seemed like they were going to happen. And then all of a sudden, God shows up. Hallelujah. Paul, my friend, was looking for more. He wanted his dad to be a Christian. So he kept praying. What would you like to see God do? I want you to think about that. What would you like to see God do? What promise are you hanging on to? And maybe you could use a fresh dose of faith and energy from the Holy Spirit, right? That's why we come to worship together. Like, we need the inspiration. That's why we encourage each other and study God's word together, because we need help. We need inspiration to keep moving forward in faith. So I put in putting it into practice, what would you like to see God do in your own life? That's where you want to start, right? What would you like to see him do in the people you love, in our churches, in our city, in our nation, in other nations? We have friends serving God overseas. What do we want to see God do with them? That's something that we should think about, we should pursue as a people. As Americans, wanting to be comfortable is a snare and a challenge for us. The comforts we enjoy are blessings from God, and we should give thanks for them. Yet they can also make us fleshly and complacent. They can make us self-seeking rather than Jesus-seeking, rather than picking up our cross and seeking first the kingdom. It's kind of like, how can I be happy? If everything's good for me, it's good. My kids and I, okay, we're good. Everything's good. Well, that's not Christianity. All right? It's not about everything being good just for you. It's about the people around us. Jesus isn't alone in being the light of the world. You're the light of the world. You're supposed to touch people's lives around you, just like Jesus did. Hallelujah. It's a privilege to be his people. In Deuteronomy 8, when the people went into the promised land, God warned them, you're going to have fields and orchards, the land flowing with milk and honey is going to be great. Be careful lest you forget me, or you start saying in pride, like, my strength and power gave me all this wealth. I don't see us being proud and saying it's all us, but I do know that for me, and I believe for you, wanting comfort and just being content or complacent is an issue. Are you with me? So we want to make sure, no, I want more of God. What do you want to see God do in your life? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. How many of you enjoy being hungry? Well, we only like being hungry because we know there's a good meal ahead of us, or I can go buy some whatever it is I like, you know, chips, you know, just whatever. We can satisfy our hunger. Jesus said, be hungry for righteousness. Be hungry for God. And so I pray that for myself, because sometimes I'm not that hungry for God. I'm kind of happy with the way things are. So I'm preaching to myself, Lord, stir me up. Make me hungry again. David in Psalm 52, I came across this as well. This was David's comment on people who don't look to the Lord. The righteous shall see and fear and shall laugh at him, saying, see the man who would not make God his refuge, but trusted in the abundance of his riches. I feel more secure if I have more money on hand. That's not necessarily bad, but it's very easy for us to trust in our riches, how much money we have, rather than God is my strength. God's my provider. God's my fortress. God will take care of me. And we have to say, Lord, that's the walk I want with you. God's kingdom is always what? Somebody help me out. Isaiah 9, it's always increasing. And it says, the zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. It's not me drumming it all up for myself. It's like God's zeal. I need to get some more of God's zeal in me. It's done by grace, but we have to ask for it, right? Somebody say amen. Okay, thank you. You're still with me. So we're going to pray. Could we have Wei and Abigail come up? I want to pray for a minute, just on your own, just you and the Lord. But I want to get a few people up here to pray. We're here. What would we like to see God do? And if you feel, if you see yourself as a guy like, hey, you know, I'm the unlucky Christian, don't do that. That's from the enemy. If my friend Paul's 90-year-old father, who was a scoffer, can exhibit all the fruit of the Holy Spirit, I'm sure God can do it in you. But we have to ask. If you're not patient, ask for Jesus. Impart your patience to me. Help me die to myself. Love, joy. You need joy. Lord, baptize me in your joy. It's just, it's right there. You can get Galatians 5 out and you can just look at, okay, this is what I need to pray for, right? And I also want to encourage in the gifts of the Spirit. I think sometimes of David, William, and Paul. You know how they say, oh, the Lord showed me this, or I feel like there's somebody here, you know, with a back pain. I want to encourage you guys to keep doing that. I want to encourage the rest of you. Let's pray for God to speak to us. Let's pray for God to show us things. You know, if you're wrong like four times in a row, but the fifth time you nail it and somebody gets healed because you got a word of knowledge for them, or someone gets freed from the heaviness or, you know, spirit of depression because you got a word for them, you'll be glad you stepped out in faith and missed it four times and got the fifth one. Right? Yeah, you will. So let's pray for a minute. Father, I just want you to bless my brothers and sisters here. Father, we want to reject being complacent, or we want to put off having a, you know, like a woe is me, I can't change attitude. Lord, thank you. The things that are impossible for us are possible with you. It's not too hard for you. None of you, your hang-ups, none of your weaknesses are too hard for Jesus. So just take a minute, talk to him. Be honest with him. What would you like to see him do in your life? Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Father, I pray faith in you would well up in everybody's heart this morning. Tim Keller's fond of saying, because of Jesus, God accepts you and loves you just the way you are. He also loves you too much to leave you the way you are. God's goal is for you to become more like Jesus. And so he's after that. He will cause that to happen. So if you want the Lord to just impart hunger and a spirit of wanting more, just lift your hands to the Lord. We just want to pray together right now. Lord, thank you. Just lift them up high. Lord, just, you see everyone who's lifting up their hands to you, Father. We need your grace. Hallelujah. We need you to do in us what we can't do ourselves, and we believe you will do it. Those who trust in you are not put to shame. Father, thank you. Bless my brothers and sisters today with a hunger for you, with grace to persevere, with joy inexpressible and full of glory, that they will know that you're with them, and that knowledge will inspire them and carry them through each day and each week. Father, we are agreeing as two churches, Abundant Grace, City Church of Boston, we're agreeing that we will press on in you this year, that we want more of you, more of your grace, more of your love, more of your power, and we're asking you to do that work in our hearts. Thank you, Lord. Praise you. We love you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Let's say hallelujah again. Hallelujah. All right. I would like a few people, just take a few minutes to pray. What is it you want to see God do? Come up and pray. You just one sentence prayer, okay? No, don't share a testimony or God's doing this, that. No, you just come up and pray, and we're going to say amen to what you're praying for. Can we do that, please? All right. Thank you.